Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the LifePoint Christian Church podcast. Let's get started.
Let me ask this. Have you ever had one of those moments when you just wanted to shout out loud, life isn't fair? You had that? You've been there, right? Life isn't fair. Maybe you worked hard for the promotion and somebody else got it who barely tried. Or maybe you had prayed for healing and the diagnosis didn't change. Life isn't fair. You gave everything to the marriage, but they decided to walk away. You raised your kids in church, but they've drifted. You prayed for a baby for years, and then a couple walks into your small group that night and says, "We didn't want kids, but we're pregnant." And you can't help but look at that. Look at your circumstances, your situation, and maybe even look at God and say, "God, this just isn't fair." It's interesting when we talk about this as adults, we understand that. We say it to our kids all the time, right? It's one of the lessons we need to teach them. Life isn't fair. I want to remind us as adults, life isn't fair. You know it. I know it. We all feel it. We all have maybe that moment when you've been trying to hold it together. You've been trying to do the right thing. You've been trying to trust God, and then one more thing goes wrong. Whether the email or the comment or the bill comes in or the diagnosis, and you're thinking, "Come on, God, I'm trying. I really am." We all have those moments when life feels unfair. But sometimes we're not exactly helping out our own cause. It's like the woman who is having a really, really bad day. She has an important meeting and she's late for work. And it doesn't help that she's hitting every single red light. Traffic is worse than it's ever been. And then someone cuts her off and she at that moment loses it. She lays on the horn. She starts honking at them, trying to get around them, get up to them, starts yelling out words that she shouldn't be yelling out, lifting up fingers that she shouldn't be lifting up. And she's driving erratically and trying to weave in and out. And a few minutes later, the flashing lights show up in her rear view mirror. A police officer pulls her over, walks up to her and asks her to step out of the car. He escorts her to the back of his patrol car and tells her, "You need to wait here." And then after a few minutes, he comes back and says to her, "All right, you can get back in your car. Here's a ticket. I actually thought this was a bigger problem here because I watched how you were driving erratically. I watched how you gave some choice words to that individual and how you were running around crazy. And then I saw on your car the bumper sticker that said, 'Choose life.' And I saw the sticker that said, 'He is greater than I.' And I assumed the car was stolen." And some of you just thought, "And that's why I drive an unmarked car for Jesus." We can laugh at it, but it actually raises a serious question. How do you act and how do you react when life doesn't go your way? When life isn't fair? How do you respond when you're treated unfairly? How do you respond when you're trying to do the right thing and it actually costs you? God never promised us that life would be fair. In fact, God allows unfair circumstances in our life. He allows unfair circumstances to happen to good people. And in those circumstances, God is doing something deeper than we usually see in the moment. And if anybody understood or understands what fairness or unfairness looks like, that was Joseph. Well, if you've been with us in this series, you know that Joseph was hated by his brothers, that he was sold into slavery. Last week, we saw that he was falsely accused of assault and thrown into prison, which is where we'll pick up today. And eventually, we're going to find out that he's forgotten by somebody who said he would remember him. If anybody had a right to say life isn't fair, it was Joseph. And Psalm chapter 105 captures Joseph's story in just a couple sentences. It says this: "Then he sent someone to Egypt ahead of them," which is Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with fetters and placed his neck in an iron collar. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord what? The Lord? Let's say it together. The Lord? The Lord tested Joseph's character. That last line says it all. It's a line that I wish wasn't in the Bible. But it's there. The Lord what? The Lord tested Joseph's character. Before God could do something through Joseph, God was having to do something in Joseph. And that's the same with you, and it's the same with me. Sometimes God will bless us with comfort and ease and blessings that we want. But sometimes God blesses us with challenges. Not because God's cruel, but because he's committed to your growth and my growth. He's more interested in shaping your character than making sure that you have comfort. And when he's shaping you, you just need to know that ride can get rough. It's as if God enrolls us in his training ground for growth, his classroom for character development. And it's in that classroom that he shapes our attitude. It's in that classroom that wants to strengthen our faith, and it's where he's going to test our hearts. And that's where Joseph lived, by the way, for years, under pressure, under scrutiny, under circumstances that made no sense. Paul echoes this idea in Romans chapter 5, where he says this: we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us. How do they help us? They help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character in us. Do you see the connection? That God uses pressure in our lives to build up our perseverance, that he uses waiting in our life to grow our wisdom, that he uses pain in our life to bring about and produce purpose in our life. And it's not punishment by God. That's not what he's doing. It's preparation. He's getting us ready. James chapter 1, verse 2 adds this. It says this: consider it pure joy. Everybody say joy. Say it like you mean it. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
Joy. Consider it pure joy. Okay, great. I can do that. Joy. When you face various trials of many kinds. Oh, whoa. Can I take my joy back? No. Consider it joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing, there it is again, the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Consider it joy, not if you face trials, but when you face trials. We all praise God when the blessings come. Of course we do. We praise him for the raise. We praise him for the healing. We praise him for the answered prayers. But how do we respond when that prayer goes unanswered? How do we respond when the job doesn't come through? How do we respond when that relationship ends? How do we respond, man, when life just isn't fair? How do you act? How do you react when that blessing doesn't come your way? What does Paul say? He says to rejoice. Consider that joy. Not because of the trial itself, but because of what it's going to produce. What did Paul say it's going to produce, or James say it's going to produce? He says maturity's coming your way. Endurance, the ability to persevere, is coming your way. Paul said, even in Romans there, he said your completeness is coming your way. The trials don't just test your faith. They are training up your faith. That's exactly what we see in the life of Joseph. He didn't let unfairness define his life. He said, no. I'm gonna let it refine me to make me better. I'm not gonna grow bitter. I'm gonna grow stronger. And Joseph, he wrestled, I imagine, with the same question that we wrestle with when our life isn't fair. God, where are you? God, where are you in all this silence? Genesis 39, verse 21 gives us the answer. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph. And by the way, if you've been with us in this series, you've heard that before. Over and over and over in Joseph's circumstances that are awful, that are terrible, we read the Lord was with Joseph. God was with him back in the pit. He was with him back when he worked for Potiphar. And now God's with him here when he's in prison. God has never left. It's easy for you and I to see God when life is going well. That's easy. Praise God. But what about when life feels unjust? What about when you're sitting in your prison of disappointment? Do you see God then? What did Joseph choose to do in his particular prison? We ended last week saying Joseph was put in prison for something he didn't do. We're going to pick up in Genesis 39 in a moment. And rather than complain, Joseph makes a decision. I'm going to be active. I'm going to serve. I'm not going to just barely get by or survive in prison. I'm going to lead out. And as a result, Genesis 39 verse 23 says, the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care. Why? Because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Joseph didn't deserve the prison cell, but he decided, if I'm going to be here, then I'm going to be faithful to God here. He did his best because he believed that God was with him. Ecclesiastes, let me read a couple of verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do that with all your might. Ephesians adds this, chapter 6 says, serve wholeheartedly as if you're serving the Lord and not men. Colossians 3 confirms it. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for who? The Lord. Not human masters. Since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it's the Lord Christ you're serving. Joseph's serving wasn't coming from this place of wanting attention or to be noticed or wanting some type of applause. Joseph is serving here in prison out of conviction. Why? What's that conviction? Well, he knew who his real master was. When no one was watching, Joseph said, I'm still going to give my best because I know who I'm really serving. That's what integrity is really all about. It's about living for an audience of one. Integrity, your integrity, my integrity, it's not proven when everybody's watching. It's proven when nobody's watching. So, for you, when nobody's watching, what do you do? What do you do when you have a chance to cut corners and to get away with it? Who are you then? Joseph, he stays faithful because his identity, it wasn't anchored in being seen by others. It was anchored in the one he served. I know God is with me. That's the one I serve. He's with me here, even in my prison. What about you? The story goes on and takes an interesting twist in Genesis chapter 40, verses 1 through 3. It tells us that these two new prisoners show up. It's Pharaoh's cupbearer and his baker. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us why they're there. It could have been they didn't put enough chocolate chips in the cookies. We don't know. But they're thrown into the same prison. Of all the prisons, they're thrown into the same one as Joseph. You think that's coincidence? I would suggest not. That it's the providence of God. That God is orchestrating connections that Joseph at the moment doesn't realize the importance of those connections. I love how God does that. That even when life seems unfair, God will bring the right person in our life or the right people in our life at the right moment. Have you experienced that? Maybe you've been the one that God brought into somebody's life, or maybe you're the one who God sent to you. Sometimes God will actually position you like Joseph in a very hard place because there's somebody you need to meet. Genesis chapter 40, verse 6 says, when Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected or that they looked upset. And he said to them, why do you look so sad today? Which is interesting, because if anybody had a reason to be sad and discouraged, it was Joseph. He had every reason to be bitter, to be withdrawn. But instead, what does Joseph do? Joseph notices somebody else's pain. And when that, and you need to know that when your heart is right with God, that you can be sensitive to the needs of others, even if you're hurting in your own life. Most people get so wrapped up and so consumed in their own problems that they stop seeing other people's pain, but not Joseph. He leans in and he asks, "Hey guys, what's going on? What's up? How are you doing?" When somebody asks the question, "How are you doing? How's it going?" There's two ways that comes out, right? One way is, "Hey, how's it going?" And you don't want to hear. That's just a way of saying hi. Like, don't actually tell me. But there's another way when we sit and we look someone in the eyes, and we pause and we say, "Hey, how are you doing?" And because we use that as a phrase just to say hi, we might even say, "Hey, how are you doing? Like, really, how are you?" And if you ask that question, just like Joseph did, and if you genuinely mean it, that's the type of question that opens the door for ministry, that opens the door for God to use you. So I'm wondering, what about you? Are you willing to lift your eyes off of your own suffering? Because if you're willing, God will then use you to help somebody else who's in need. God will use you to help them in their hurt and in their pain. And that paves the way for God to work through you, but also to do something special in you. And God will work in you and grow you and develop you and comfort you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 says this, that God comforts us in all our troubles. Why? So that we can comfort others. When we're troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. In other words, the very pain that you're going through becomes what God uses to bring healing to other people. Have you discovered this? That it's in your hurt, that it's in your pain, that's when empathy actually develops? Have you figured that out? That all of a sudden you can actually relate to somebody else. Your deepest pain, no matter how difficult it is and painful it is, God can actually use that to be a platform for ministry, for you to be a blessing to other people. And God wants to use you. He's comforting you so that you can comfort others with the same comfort that God has given you. Well, they tell Joseph that they've had dreams. Genesis chapter 40, verse 8, Joseph said to them, "Do not all interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." If I was Joseph and that word dreams come up, that would have been a trigger. And I'm like, dreams? Nope, don't want anything to do with dreams. Last time I brought up dreams and talked about that, I ended up in a pit and then in prison. Right? That's where I would have gone, but not Joseph. Joseph doesn't shut down. He's not triggered by the word. God gave Joseph the ability, the gift to interpret dreams. And even though that gift has actually brought him pain, you need to know that the gifts that God gives you, the reality is sometimes they do bring pain. And even though it brought him pain, God was still wanting to use Joseph. And Joseph believed that God was still with him, even in his prison of disappointment, and so he leans in. That's what faith is. Faith isn't just pretending, "Oh, hey, everything's great, everything's fine." It's trusting God, even if it doesn't feel like everything's going your way. It's believing God can still use you. Even when everything feels broken in your life, God can still use you to help other broken people. Amen. If you'll lean in. So here's the question, is that your faith? Is your faith stronger than maybe whatever fear you're going through right now, whatever your disappointments are? Is it stronger than the pain that you're going through now? Joseph's faith was stronger. And so, being used by God and being open to being used by God, seeing other people's pain, and he leans into that, and so the cupbearer tells Joseph his dreams. And then Joseph, having been given the skill, ability from God, he interprets it. Genesis chapter 40, verse 13 says this. Joseph tells the cupbearer, "Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position." But then we get Joseph's humanity that really comes through in verse 14. "Hey, But when all goes well with you, because I'm telling you it's going to go well for you, please remember me. Show me kindness. So mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. He's just being real. He's being honest. He's not some superhero. Joseph is just like you and me. He's just trying to be faithful and to do the right thing, and he's hoping for some justice. He's like, please tell Pharaoh. Tell him I need his help. I need him to intervene. Then the baker hears the interpretation for the cupbearer, and the baker says, hey, I had a dream too. Do you have some good news for me also? And Joseph tells him, he says, well, in 3 days, Pharaoh's going to lift up your head also. And I bet the baker's like, awesome, I'm getting out of here too. This is awesome. And Joseph's like, yeah, he's going to lift up your head off your body. Verse 19, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh. And for all you Gen Xers and baby boomers who used to watch Seinfeld, Seinfeld would have heard that and said, that's a shame. If I was in Joseph's shoes, I'm not so sure I would have been able to speak up that way. Joseph could have been a little more mild, but still, you know, been honest, say, yeah, you're headed out in 3 days. Ha, ha, ha. But this baker, or for this baker, Joseph didn't sugarcoat it. Okay, last dad joke. That's the last one. I won't do it again. Joseph spoke the truth, the uncomfortable truth, even when it's difficult. By the way, that's one of the marks of somebody who's maturing or mature in Christ. You tell the truth, not because it's easy, but because it's right, even if it's difficult. He wasn't being like fake positive here. Hey, everything's going to be fine. No. He was faithful to God, and he was honest with people. Now, when you share the truth, don't be brutal about it. Ephesians chapter 5, 4, verse 15 says, speak the truth in love. Or another translation says, lovingly speak the truth. Have a high enough EQ to know how to deliver truth. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says that everything that you say should be done in graciousness and in kindness. Do you do that? Share truth graciously, kindly, humbly. That's what Joseph chose to do here. Well, sure enough, it happened exactly as he predicted. We see in Genesis chapter 40, verse 22, that the cupbearer was restored and the baker was cooked. Okay, last dad joke. Sorry. We had dad jokes at men's retreat, and so, you know. Joseph must have thought, as everything happened just as he predicted would happen, this is it. I'm finally getting out of this place. The cupbearer is going to go tell Pharaoh about my plight, about my situation. He'll tell him about me interpreting the dreams. And in fact, Pharaoh has dreams, and so maybe I'll get a chance to interpret dreams for Pharaoh. And so Joseph is getting excited to finally be able to move beyond this trial, this hardship. But Genesis chapter 40, verse 23 hits like a punch in the gut. It says the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. In fact, 2 more years, Joseph is forgotten. And Joseph's thinking, day by day, I helped you out of your crisis. I helped you, and you've gone silent on me, and you've gone silent. And he waits, and maybe you can relate. You've served faithfully. You obeyed. You've prayed. You've waited. But it just feels like, man, God, where are you? Heaven's silent. Nothing's changed. And you start thinking, God, have you forgotten me? God, where's my break? You look around. You see everybody else moving forward, but you're still stuck in the same place. That was Joseph. Same place for 2 long, silent, monotonous years. But the silence of God doesn't mean God's absence or that he's absent. In Joseph's waiting, God's still there. God's still working. God's still shaping Joseph. God wasn't saying no. God was simply saying, not yet. Not yet. And I can tell you this, not yet, it's one of the hardest places to live. Have you experienced that? It's the hardest place. It's that space between maybe what God has promised, maybe what God has told you will occur, maybe what scriptures tell you will occur. But it's that space between that and, oh, okay, now I understand. Oh, now I see what God was doing. That land in between, in that space, the not yet. Every single one of us have a choice. When life is unfair, when life is difficult, when life hits us like a punch in the gut, you can choose to be bitter or you can decide to get better. You have a choice. You can harden your heart or you can allow God to soften your heart during your trials. You can focus on the fairness, it's not fair, or you can focus on saying, I'm going to be faithful to God no matter what comes my way. What do you do when life isn't fair? What do you do when you're wondering, why is all this happening to me? St. Teresa of Avila was what some people would call like a contemplative. And she would journal, has written books and journal about her walk with God. And when you read her journals, you read her books, you could see she had this deep, close, intimate relationship with God. But then there was a season when all of a sudden tragedy struck. And tragedy upon tragedy kept coming her way. And that relationship with God was suffering, and she would write about this. And she emotionally got to this point where she was so overwhelmed that she wrote in her journal, Lord, if you love me, why are you letting all this happen to me? She's just speaking what you and I have felt. God, if you love me, why are you letting all this happen to me? And she felt God say back to her. She felt like it was an audible voice, and God said, why am I letting this happen to you? Because you're my friend. And then she wrote, well, God, that's why you don't have many friends. But it's really true, isn't it? God looks at you and I, and he tells us, because I love you, because I care for you, yeah, I'm going to allow you to go through the difficult times. I'm going to allow you to go through the tough times because life can be unfair and life can be tough. But God is faithful and God is with you and he will use that difficulty. What did Paul say? What did James say? He's going to use it to develop you, to mature you, to help you persevere, to make you complete and whole in Christ. So when life isn't fair, what will you do? What will you do? Maybe right now, life for you isn't fair. It's not right. How do you view your dungeon? Joseph didn't view his dungeon as punishment. He saw it as preparation for what God had next. And is that you? Are you really willing to realize, hey, listen, God's not trying to crush you. He's trying to strengthen you right now. Your pain, that's just a platform that God wants to use for his purposes in your life. Joseph kept at it. He kept doing the right thing. He kept staying faithful. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 talks about this, and it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. You see the if? It's coming if we do not give up. That's God's promise to every single faithful Joseph. At the proper time, you're going through the not yet, but at the proper time, God's blessing will arrive. So don't give up. Stay strong. Keep faithful. Stay faithful. Keep your perspective in check. Thomas Edison was 67 years old when a fire broke out in his lab in West Orange, New Jersey. His son Charles sees this fire and just freaking out and terrified because his dad, Thomas Edison, all his work looks like it's going up in flames. And so he's looking for his dad and trying to go in there to see what he can rescue. And when Charles found his dad, Edison was just sitting there calmly watching the fire. He turned and looked at his son and said, "Hey, son, hurry, go get your mom. Bring her here. She's going to see a fire like she's never seen in her life." And I listen to that and I think, man, you talk about perspective. Edison could have been sitting there thinking, looking at all his life's work, thinking, "God, why did this happen to me?" But no. Instead, the next morning, he's looking over all the ruins and everything that is lost, and here's what he said. He said, "There's great value in disaster. All our mistakes are burned up. Thank God we can start anew." Here's somebody who had perspective, who saw possibility in the fire. And that was Joseph. He saw the hand of God in his fire of unfairness. And so I'm wondering, what about you? Maybe right now you're going through your fire, your prison, your season of unfairness, and you feel wronged, overlooked, abandoned, hurt, maybe taken advantage of. But what you do in this fire of unfairness tells us about your relationship with God. Because when your life is difficult, when life isn't fair, you can harden your heart in those moments. Or you can choose to say, "I want to press in and I want to deepen my faith." God's not punishing you. He's preparing you. He's developing you. And when you think, man, life's unfair, you just need to know God is fair and faithful. So are you like Joseph in a not yet season? Is that you? You're just waiting. You're just waiting, holding on. My challenge to you is don't give up. Don't give in. Keep trusting. Keep believing. Keep doing what's right, even if everything around you feels wrong. Why? Because God's not done with you. He's not done writing your story. And so hang on to a verse like Isaiah 41, verse 10, which says, God says to us, "Don't fear." Why? "I'm with you," just like God was with Joseph. "Don't be dismayed, for I'm your God, and I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you by my righteous right hand." God is with you, and he's holding you up. So lean into him. Press into him. Say, "God, I'm going to trust you even if I don't understand. God, even though I'm hurting and I'm in a lot of pain, I'm not going to focus on my hurt and my pain. I'm going to look outward because I know you can use me to help others. That what I'm going through and the way you're comforting me, God, I want to be used by you to comfort others in their hardships, in their trials, in their fires." Would you be willing to be used by God? How do you act? How do you react when life isn't fair? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we come before you today recognizing, just like you were with Joseph in his prison, you're with us. And you're trying to strengthen our faith and prepare us for something greater than we can possibly imagine. And so, God, we just humbly come before you, laying our hearts bare before you. So I want to invite you right now, take a moment. Tell God your hurt, your pain, what's unfair, what's difficult. He knows, but why don't you just say it to him? And then I would invite you to lean in to God and to tell him you trust him. Maybe say something like this: "God, I trust you, even though I don't really understand right now. And so, God, I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to serve faithfully. And, God, I'm going to wait patiently while I sit in this fire of disappointment, in this prison of pain. I lean into you, God. I lean into my faith because I know you are with me. So my heart, my life, my soul is yours. In Jesus' name I pray." God, you've heard our prayers, our heart. Where else are we going to go? You're the one who can hold us up by your right, righteous hand. And so we lean into you, God. We love you. We praise you for being with us in the midst of our prison, our trial. Thank you for that, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can learn more about us by visiting us online at lifepoint.org. If you are ever in the Sacramento area, we would love to see you in person. Events and service times can be found on our website. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us for our next episode.